last week, and the conversation was about exponential growth and how to create exponential growth. And, you know, I was sharing vision and mission, and last week I shared vision and what that means. Vision is where we're going, and, you know, I could pull a bunch of scriptures and say, you know, tell me something about vision from the scriptures, you know, and probably some of the scriptures that would come to your mind would be, without vision, people, all of these scriptures, you would begin to talk about what vision means, and so you just take that particular scripture about vision, and you say, without vision, people perish. So how does vision perish? How does vision perish? And you quickly connect the dots to mission. Mission. If you and I are here today and we don't have a mission, a personal contribution to the vision, then what will occur with all of the things we want to see take place in our families, in our city, in Northeast Ohio, in the nation, all of that will perish if we don't have a mission. If you don't have a personal contribution to say, I'm a part of that team, I join that movement, I want to see something amazing take place in Northeast Ohio, I'm on that team. That's your mission statement. You come to church, you live your life with this personal mission statement that says, I will see the dead raised, I will watch blind eyes open, I will confess it out of my mouth, I will see these supernatural things occur with my life. That's your mission statement. You know, some of us walk through the doors on a Sunday morning and say, my mission statement is to instill hope into every person I encounter. You know, some of those people, they're hope instillers back there. You know, they meet you at the door and you immediately feel hope. They give you hope. And so hopefully that's a mission statement they walk through the door with. My question today to you is, what's your mission statement for life? What's your mission statement for the vision here at Church on the North Coast? Because we have amazing vision, but without you, it all dies. Without you, it dies. Doesn't matter how grandiose, how glorious, how anointed the vision was when we went up on the mountain with God and God began to speak to us about how we're going to, just see the glory of God spread through Wycliffe and then further east and over to the East Coast. It doesn't matter how much God speaks to Moses on the mountain. Unless Israel down at the bottom fights with mission, none of it comes to pass. And so I tell you, what matters most today is not what happens up here, but what happens in there. Yeah, we got it mixed up a little bit. We put all of the responsibility up here on the platform. You know, drum it up for us, worship team. Kristen, go up there and catch Jesus for us, you know. But really, the catching Jesus occurs in the pews. It doesn't occur on the platform. There's a way we can take what's initiated up here, and we can then begin to move it way beyond where it starts, you know. But that comes from right here. And so the question today is, what's your mission? What's your mission? This is the seventh Sunday of 2017. There's something prophetic there. I'll research it later. But the seventh Sunday of 2017. Are you keeping track? Are you keeping track? Are you monitoring your progress in Christ? Are you keeping track of your promises? Are you watching to see, like, because that's how you know whether or not you're advancing spiritually. Anything worth doing is worth monitoring. Are you monitoring? This is the seventh Sunday of 2017. How far have you come since the beginning? Yeah, push it. Don't allow one Sunday to go by without resisting the enemy, without pushing back on the enemy and saying, this territory, I'm going to take a little more this week. You might have knocked me down last week, but I'm gonna gain a little more this week. I'm receiving the offering, by the way. Thank you. So they're gonna come, and this is your opportunity to give financially. Here, this is your opportunity to give financially. You could do that through checks. You could do that through cash. The envelopes are there before you. If you're listening to this, you can go online and do it. You can do it through your phone. You can open up your phone, go to the Church on the North Coast app, and you can go through PushPay. All of these different ways you can give here at Church on the North Coast. But remember, without your contribution of your mission, the vision here will perish. So without your financial contribution, the vision perishes as well. We can't keep doing it. But I was reminded of God's promises. And how he will rebuke the devourer for my sake this week, this past week. I was making a rather large purchase, And it was something I was really excited about. And I was making this purchase, and I went to the dealership, and I was like, you know, I want to pay this amount of money for that. And they laughed at me, Pastor Lowell. They laughed at me. They, you know, they just, you know how dealers are, you know, they're just so smooth, you know. And then by the time they're done with you, you walk out and you know you've just been handled. You've just been handled, and I feel so violated. You know, I walked out of there like, man, I let them get me. It tricked me. And so by the end of it, I paid like $4,000 more than I should have, you know, bottom line. And I'm like, I thought I went in there with a plan, you know. I thought I went in there with determined, you know, heart and spirit. And so I signed the contract, and I got home, and I was like, okay, well, whatever. You know, you just some you just chalk it up. You know, you just go, okay, well, whatever. And then a few days go by, and I get a phone call. I get a phone call, and it's the finance department from the dealership, and they say, Troy, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you got to come back in. And I'm like, for what? And they said, well, the terms of your loan, we can't do that. The finance, the credit company won't do that for you. We got to charge you more, basically. So you already charged me $4,000, you know. I said, no. Then I got firm. No way. I got a contract. You know, I got a binding contract. You know, I signed it. Then I started Googling, you know. I started Googling to see if they could do that. Do you actually, that's so crazy that they can take a contract and not honor the contract. I was like, how, then what's a contract for? You know what I mean? Like, why are we signing papers if none of this means anything? If you could just call me 3 days later and say, come back in, we're going to charge you more money. So I was just like, you know what, God, I'm going to give that to you. I'm almost ready to just give this thing back and say, forget the whole deal. And God just said, trust me. Okay, I mean, I've been trusting you from the beginning, God, but, you know, I'm getting ready to pay like $4,000, $5,000 more than I should have for this. He said, trust me. I said, okay. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. I said, okay. So a couple more days go by. They said, we're gonna talk, and then you come in, and then we'll handle it. So I get in there, and the owner of the dealership's there. And he looks at me and says, Mr. Thompson, I want to let you know we value you as a customer, and it was our mistake. It was totally our mistake on the terms. And so here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna lower the price by $4,000. Thank you. Thank you. And I walked away. Yeah, I had a way to handle them. I walked away. I turned around. I winked at God. I'm like, yeah, thank you, Jesus. But your faithfulness is rewarded. You know, I just want you to know. That's just one testimony. I heard another one when I walked in. $16,000, you know, last week after the search, believing for $16,000. And suddenly, somehow, some way, God made a way. $16,000 showed up in seven days. It's crazy. That's right. But God rewards faithfulness. God rewards faithfulness. So thank you for your faithfulness here at Church on the North Coast. Those listening online, those watching online, thank you for your faithfulness. Let's pray for your giving this morning. Father, thank you for keeping us. Thank you, God, for being with us. We thank you, God. We return to you with this monetary substance. We give it to you and we say, God, you are our source. There is none other. We refuse to rely upon any other source but you, Jesus. And so with this gift, we give it to you and we say, our lives belong to you. Let this gift be a representation, symbolic of that fact. We bless you with it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Welcome Deja as she comes to bless us this morning.
Good morning, church. In honor of Black History Month, in honor of the beautiful art form of poetry, and in just celebrating and reflecting overcoming of African Americans throughout time and Black lives in general, I will be reciting a poem titled, Lord, Why Did You Make Me Black? by Runette Nia Igbo. I asked God, Lord, why did you make me black? Why did you make me someone the world wants to hold back? Black is the color of dirty clothes, the color of grimy hands and feet. Black is the color of darkness, the color of tired, beaten streets. Why did you give me thick lips, a broad nose, and kinky hair? Why did you make me someone who receives those hatred stares? Black is the color of a bruised eye when somebody gets hurt. Black is the color of darkness. Black is the color of dirt. How come my bone structure's so thick? My hips and cheeks are high. How come my eyes are brown and not the color of the daylight sky? Why do people think I'm useless? How come I feel so used? Why do some people see my skin and think that I should be abused? Lord, I just don't understand. What is it about my skin? Why do some people want to hate me and not know the person that's within? Black is what people are listed when others want to keep them away. Black is the color of shadows cast. Black is the end of the day. Lord, even my own people mistreat me, and I know this just isn't right. They don't like my hair or the way I look. They say I'm too dark or too light. Lord, don't you think it's time for you to make a change? Why don't you redo creation and make everyone the same? And God answered, why did I make you black? Why did I make you black? Get off your knees and look around. Tell me, what do you see? I didn't make you in the image of darkness. I made you in the likeness of me. I made you the color of coal from which beautiful diamonds are formed. I made you the color of oil, the black gold that keeps people warm. I made you from the rich, dark earth that can grow the food you need. Your color's the same as the panther, known for her beauty and her speed. Your color's the same as the black stallion. A majestic animal is he. I didn't make you in the image of darkness. I made you in the likeness of me. All the colors of the heavenly rainbow can be found throughout every nation. And when all those colors were blended well, you became my greatest creation. Your hair is the texture of lamb's wool. Such a humble little creature is he. I am the shepherd who watches them, and I am the one who will watch over thee. You are the color of the midnight sky. I put the stars glitter in your eyes. There's a smile hidden behind your pain, and that's the reason your cheeks are high. You are the color of dark clouds formed when I send my strongest weather. And I made your lips full so when you kiss the one you love, they will remember. Your stature is strong, your bone structure thick to withstand the burdens of time. The reflection you see in the mirror, the image looking back at you, it is mine. Thank you.
We do honor and celebrate Black History Month. We have an amazing month full of celebration coming to you. Tim Story is one of them. He will be with us February 23rd in Valley View at 7 o'clock. Tim will be with us. If you've never seen or been a part of his ministry, been in a service with him, you won't want to miss it. Tim's story is really impacting Hollywood. He's been on Oprah, and he has such incredible ministry. The first time I met him, my life changed. You know, when I met him, I thought, wow, like he carries an anointing that's historical, and you won't want to miss it. 7 o'clock, February 23rd. If you are a man in here, Tim Story has a specific word for you. Pastor Adam has some tickets right now he'd like to put in your hand. For $15, here's what we're going to do. Tim Story's going to come on that night, and he's going to meet just with the men in a VIP session. For about 30 minutes, he's going to meet with men personally and speak a word to them. If you'd like to be a part of that meeting, we invite you to do so. You can raise your hand, get a ticket from Pastor Adam, and pay him before you leave today. But I'm telling you, you won't want to miss it. It's life-changing. He operates in the prophetic. He operates in healing. It's an incredible, incredible opportunity for us, and I don't want you to miss it. Please make sure you mark your calendar. It's a Thursday night, 7 o'clock in Valley View. Men, if you want to come, raise your hand. Pastor Adam will get one to you. As we're moving forward, take your Bible, go with me to 1 Peter 5, verse 8. This is, how many were here last week for last week's message? Okay, good. So I'll do a little summary, and then we'll move on to the second part of this message. I have to warn you, though, some of the content that I'm about to share is very explicit. Me and my wife struggled as to whether or not we should share it, you know, because it's so intimate. And it's so sensitive, especially to her. I guess I should say also that she is good. I just kind of move on with the ministry. But she is really well. She's recovered complete. Well, not completely. I mean, she had a blood transfusion, so she had to. You know, she had a long way to come. But she is doing really well. She's in Lorraine today and Avon, so she's right back at it. She's got like 7 jobs. She works harder than all of us together. She's amazing. But today's message is entitled Surviving a Lion Attack. But more than that, I want to tell you how to prevent a lion attack. But eventually, there will be a lion attack. And then part three, I think I'll share with how to resist the lion attacks and building resistance from the lion attacks. So let's read the text. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Peter says this. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your enemy, you have an adversary, and he is the devil. So for all of you who think that the devil's fairy tale foolishness, Peter just moves right past that point, doesn't even acknowledge it, and says, you have an enemy, and his name is the devil. And whether you like it or not, he's hunting you. Whether you engage in the fight or not, he does not care. He doesn't care if you put your head in the sand, if you pretend as if he doesn't exist. He's fine with destroying you and devouring you as you ignore him. Have you ever seen the National Geographic footage where the lions are eating the ox while it's alive? Have you seen? He doesn't care. He pays no never mind to how you feel about him. He pays no never mind to your ideological perspectives or theological whatever. He just doesn't care. He just doesn't care if you like him. He could care less. Don't acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. His point is, listen, I'm hunting you. Peter says he is hunting you. He's relentless. He seeks whom he may devour. You have an enemy, and you're being hunted. Have you ever been hunted? Have you ever been hunted? Have you ever been swimming in the ocean? And you know, you've been swimming in the ocean. Yeah, and you're swimming in the ocean. I remember this one time I was down in the Grand Cayman, and I'm swimming along, man. I'm just swimming along. And I'm, you know, all the little sea turtles and all the little fishies and, you know, in the coral. And then I get out. I just, you have this way to lose yourself in the ocean, you know, just kind of. And you're just kind of just moving all along. And I get to this place. I get out so far, and I look over the edge, and it drops off about 40 feet, and it gets real deep blue. And what I saw down there at the bottom let me know real quick that I was not the apex predator in the food chain at the moment. I looked down there, and there were all these sharks just swimming around, bigger than me sharks, you know, just kind of going like this. With not too much panic, I quickly turned myself around, but I didn't want to thrash. You didn't want to panic. I just as fast as it's funny, and I was watching the little fish and turtles all everywhere, because I'm like, if they start panicking, I'm probably fish food, you know. So I just got out of there as fast as possible because I knew at that moment I was in an environment where I potentially could be hunted. That the hunter had the edge over me. Another time I was in Uganda and in Africa there, and we went on a safari. The car broke down, the truck broke down, and you know, the guide said, we got to fix it. Now, we had seen every animal that morning except the lion. So we all got out of the car, and we all had this awareness of the fact that we saw the food for the lion, but we had not seen the lion yet. And so we were aware of the fact that we were being hunted. Peter says, you should live your life of faith like you're being hunted. You should live with awareness, with vigilance. Vigilance. Vigilance is the idea of having this awake mentality, staying watchful, keeping a night watch, like hunted prey. Peter said you should live your life of faith aware and awake so much so that you live like hunted prey. He says you should be sober. You should live your life of faith with soberness. Not drunk. Not intoxicated with the allurements of sin. A lot of people will say to me, of course they just said it to me last night. I posted something, people got upset about it. Anyhow. But they say, you take this Christian stuff too serious. You're too serious with it. You're a holy roller. You Bible thumpers. You take it too far. You're too serious. You need to chill. You don't need to take it that serious. You don't need to live your life of faith that serious. That's what they say to you, you know. That's what they say. Why are you so serious about Jesus? Why do you live like that? Why can't you just do what everybody else does? What's wrong with abortion? What's wrong with you? Okay. What's wrong? Stop living like that. You're so extreme. Peter says you should be extreme. Peter says you're being hunted. You can't risk not being sober in your faith. You can't risk muddying up your faith with the intoxication and the allurements of sin. If there's ever been a time in our culture where we need a Christian faith to live with vigilance and sobriety, it's right now. It's right now. We need faith that's full of sobriety, that understands the reality of the powers and principality of darkness that are hunting our children, that are hunting generations. Literally hunting them like devouring lions, consuming them faster than they can multiply by faith. And he hides, so he's brilliant at hiding this lion that hunts you. He's brilliant. He's a master of disguise. He's able to hide himself in the most open areas. Have you ever seen it on National Geographic? There's a little tree out there, you know. There's a little tree out there with a little bit of bush in front of it. But that lion will creep in front of that little tree, even though he's bigger than the tree, even though he's in the wide open, if he just sits there long enough. If he just sits there and holds his position long enough, pretty soon that dumb gazelle will think that there's no danger in the bush. And our adversary, the devil, is like that. Peter said he's like that. He hides in the presumably innocent things, and he just waits, and he waits, and he waits, and he'll lull you to sleep, and he'll let you believe that that little thing you do is not bad for you, that it's okay. You can, don't be, you know, get a little drink going, you know, boogie down a little bit. You know, you can do that. You don't have to be so serious. You don't have to be so sober all the time. I mean, lighten up, have a drink or five or 10 or 20. I mean, just lighten up with it. And he'll sit there and he'll hide there and wait. And it seems like it's innocent. I mean, he hides in our televisions. He hides in our phones. He hides in the office at work. He just hides and he just sits there and he holds his position until you and I become less aware. We just become numb to his existence. He's been there for so long. If he was going to kill me, he would have done it by now. Most certainly he would have consumed me. If he was going to consume me, he would have done it. So I guess it's okay for me to flirt with my secretary. I guess it's okay for me to, you know, do this other thing. I guess it's okay, because if the enemy really was going to get me, he'd have got me by now. But he just waits until that gazelle gets close enough, just close enough. The gazelle, you've seen the gazelles, right? They're funny. At first, then they look at the lion. Looks like a lion. You see that? Is that a lion? I think it's a lion. That might be a lion. The lion just waits. And after a while, they go back to grazing. And pretty soon they graze right in front of the path of the lion until it's too late. Peter said, "You're being hunted. You better live vigilant. You better live your life of faith vigilant. You better live your life of faith sober. This is real deal, serious business. What's going on? And this stuff doesn't just matter now. It matters for eternity. If there's anything to be sober about and vigilant about, it's your faith. If you're going to be, you know, non-vigilant and non-sober, let it be about other things that don't matter. You know, like Facebook. You know, like Keeping Up with the Kardashians. You know, that kind of stuff. Let your sobriety and your vigilance down when it comes to that foolishness. But when it comes to your faith, Peter says, listen, you have to live vigilant and sober. I was reminded of the fact that I was being hunted when I got off a ship, and now I'm summarizing. When I got off a ship and we had vacation, and on vacation, you have a tendency to be less vigilant and less sober. Well, I don't drink, so don't get me. I don't drink. I had nada coladas, but what happened? Out of a pineapple. And what happens when you take a vacation is you kind of just relax, you disconnect, and you think to yourself, now I still read my Bible and I still prayed, but there was this guard letting down. I didn't look around my shoulder for every lion. I was just chilling. I'll just go out there, watch the sunset, and just, ooh, this is nice, you know. And I wasn't really aware of the lion that was hunting me. It is possible to be aware of your salvation, but not aware of the enemy and his tactics against you. It's just possible to live your life, you know, still engaged in faith, but not engaged in the fight. It's possible. You can say, I read my Bible today. I talked to Jesus. But did you engage with the enemy for what belongs to you? Did you engage for the territory of the promises of God? Did you engage? I mean, did you violently go before the throne room of heaven and say, these are my promises, you cannot have them? And as a matter of fact, I noticed that you're creeping up on my oldest son. And I see you over there. And because I see you creeping up on my oldest son, I'm gonna go get my weapons of warfare, and I'm coming back and we're going at it. Well, I'm not gonna let you have my oldest son. I'm coming after you. You see? And so I got off the cruise ship and everything was good. And then, you know, long story short, you'll have to go back and get, long story short, my wife almost bled to death. She almost bled to death. And there was one moment, and we were in the hospital, where she coded. Her heart rate dropped, her blood pressure dropped, and she coded. And there was like a 15 second just just delay of time where just everything seemed to just stop. And in that 10 to 15 second span of time, I became acutely aware of the fact that I was being hunted and my wife was being attacked. I was being hunted, but she was being attacked. And in that 10 to 15 seconds, I just want you to know, church, I want you to know this, and you need to listen to me. You need to listen to this, because I didn't have time to pick up my Bible. I did not have the wherewithal within me to pick up a Bible and quote some scripture at the lion. I didn't have time to go get a weapon. I didn't have time to call Pastor McCandless, Pastor Adam, Pastor Lowe. I didn't have time to make a phone call, get a prayer chain going, and say, listen, I was by myself in Orlando in a strange place all alone with me and my wife, and the enemy attacks her, and suddenly I've got to tap into a reservoir deep inside of me, and I've got no time to get right with God. You know, you've heard that statement. I'm going to get right with God eventually. You've heard people say it. I hear people. You know it's possible to hear people live? I hear people live like that. They don't say it out of their mouth, but I hear you living like, one day I'll get right with God. But for right now, I might get myself in trouble. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to get right with God later. But for right now, I'm going to let my Christianity walk in its grace. But I'll get right with God later. I'll connect with him later. I know Jesus. You know how many people tell me that? I know Jesus. You know how many people live like that? I know Jesus. You know how many people live like, I know Jesus. I know you know him. The demons know him. Paul knows him. But you don't know him. And because you don't know him, he's attacking you and destroying you and stealing from you, causing destruction in your family's generations deep. You know him, but you ain't connected to him. He don't know. And so I'm there in this 10 to 15 second interval where life and death literally is hanging in the balance. She codes, her heart rate drops, alarms go off. Every doctor in the hospital is in this room right now. They all, woof, there. Suddenly, I didn't have time. All I had time to do, church, was call upon the mighty name of Jesus. That's all I had time to do. Let me tell you how it went down in the 10 to 15 seconds. Immediately when it happened, that scripture came to my mind. And you know, the Spirit of God is so powerful. He said, Troy, this is what's happening. The enemy, your adversary, he's like a lion. He's hunting you right now. He's got your wife and he's after you, but he's hunting you right now. And it came to my mind. And as soon as it came to my mind, all I had time to say was, Jesus, Becca, wake up. Jesus, Becca, wake up. Jesus, Becca, wake up. On the third beat, Jesus, Becca, wake up. I kid you not, she rolled over, she looked at me, she said, what? She rolled over, she looked at me as if nothing ever happened, Lisa. She just said, what? I said, what? I don't know where you just went, but you weren't here. Because in that 10 to 15 seconds, she began to gag. Now, let me tell you what's not so pretty in this story. She began to gag, violently convulse. Her eyes were back in her head. She turned white as a ghost, white like that wood, white, lips purple. Now, there was concern in my mind, but not in my spirit. There was concern. My mind knew what was going on, but my spirit knew better. My spirit said, Troy, the enemy is coming upon you. You got to tap in. And let me tell you how I share this with you, because you won't have time. You won't have time to connect. You know how fast 10 to 15 seconds is when your wife is dying? 10 to 15 seconds, and you're going to go get right with Jesus. Now, what if in that 10 to 15 seconds, I was to just say, listen, doc, I'll be right back. Is there a chapel in the hospital somewhere? chapel? I need to go to the chapel. I need to go get right with Jesus. I need to go connect with Jesus. I didn't have time to do that. But I'll tell you, when I called upon his name, I felt every scripture I ever read resonate. When I called upon his name, I felt every promise come from inside of me. I felt the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah roar back at him. I tell you, when I called his name, I felt heaven come into the room. When I called his name, every scripture I ever read, every prayer I ever prayed came out in that moment. Every prayer I ever prayed over the promise that belonged to me. And I felt myself declare to the enemy, this is my promise. You can't have it. Belongs to me. I'm not letting you take her. Just with the name of Jesus. Just with the name of Jesus. But you can't tap into that lest there be a connection of knowing there. You can't utter his name. And I'm telling you, when I called his name, my name came up on his phone. It said, Troy is calling you now. He knew. That means he knew my voice. He knew me when I called him. He knew when I said Jesus, he said, oh, Troy's in trouble. When I said Jesus a second, he said, I got to get there fast. When I said it the third time, he said, show up now, manifest now. But I didn't have time. And you're not going to have time to make it right in that moment. When the lion attacks, you got to be connected. And there's too many of us. Listen, church, there's too many of us living unaware, living loose, living liberal, living swimming in a pool of grace that's polluted. You can't swim in polluted grace. It don't exist. And I tell you this soberly, with truth on my lips and from my heart, you will not have time. And so there's some ways you can prevent this attack. The first is you have to acknowledge your enemy. Second thing you got to do is you got to be sober. Third, you got to be vigilant. Fourth, you got to learn to roar back. And fifth, you got to stop taking time off. You got to stop taking time off of your faith. Because you take a vacation on your faith, the enemy does not stop hunting you when you take vacations on your faith. He just waits. I got on that cruise ship. He stopped at the dock. I'll see you when you get back. I got off that cruise ship. He prowled. He was there waiting. We cannot afford to take vacations on our faith. You can't. Because he's going to attack. It's not when. It's not if. It's when. It's not if. He will. He is. You are currently being hunted. He is currently sniffing the tracks you've been walking in. You ever see a lion sniff the tracks of its prey? He's sniffing the tracks. He's close. For some of us, he's on us. For others, he's about a day away. But make no bones, he's there. So how do you prevent attack? You do those things. Now how do you survive attack? How to survive a lion attack? I Googled it. I said, how to survive? Google's funny. They're hilarious. I Googled, how to survive a lion attack? There's an answer for that. Yeah. You said the first thing is you have to change your appearance. The second thing is you never run. The third thing is you talk to it. And the fourth thing is you fight back. So let's start with number one. You have to change your appearance. You have to let the lion see that you are not prey. You have to let him see that now the lion's coming after you. What does that look like? You know, what do you do if a lion's coming after you? You have to make yourself appear bigger than him. You have to change. He said, you have to change your appearance. Physically, the man in the Google search said, take your coat out. Rah! Yell at him. You know, get out of here, lion. Make yourself look. Change your appearance, he says. But spiritually, there's a way you change your appearance. You have to disguise yourself as something other than prey. Actually, you have to disguise yourself as a predator. Colossians 3:3-4 says, "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ." You died, and your life is hidden. Your life, don't get past that. Your life, if you want to die, be you. If you want to live, your life is hidden in Him. If you want to survive a lion attack, stay in Him. Remain in Christ. Don't come out tomorrow morning. Don't come out when you go to work. Stay in Him. Friday night, stay in Him. They're going to tempt you to come out of Him on Friday night. They're going to tempt you. Come on now. Let's get out of Jesus. Come on, let's go over here. Stay in Him, because your life, you died, and your life now is hidden in Christ. Your death is found in you, but your life is hidden in Christ. And your life is hidden in Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory. You will appear, if you remain in Christ, when the lion attacks, glory will appear. And glory is what you need when the lion comes upon you. Glory, you don't need a 12-step program. Medicine's good, but when lions attack, you're going to need glory. You know that stuff that was on Jesus? You're going to need that kind of stuff. You're going to need something more than this world to survive an enemy attack from the powers and principalities of darkness. You're going to need the glory of heaven to withstand the attack of the enemy of your soul. So stay in Christ. Change your appearance by staying in Him, and glory will appear when the enemy attacks. Number two, never run. Never, ever run. You have to establish territory. Somebody asked me as I preached this a couple weeks ago, somebody said, "Are you telling me that you literally believe that you should oppose the enemy?" I said, "Yes. It's an Old Testament principle. It's a New Testament principle. I'm going to share scripture with you to prove the point." 2 Samuel 23:11-12 says, "And after him was Shammah." You remember Shammah. "Shammah, the son of Agi, a Hararite, the Philistine, had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils." Now, if Shammah was willing to fight for some beans, if Shammah was willing to fight for beans because it was his promise, how much more should we be willing to fight for the promises that Christ has given us? Whether they be beans, our children, our mountainside, your purpose, your destiny, he says, Shammah took his post in the middle of his field, and he said, "We're going to fight. You cannot have this field." So the people fled from the Philistines, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and he killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. You have to declare to the enemy when he comes upon you, "This is my promise, and you cannot have it." It begs the question, how many promises have you retreated from because he attacked you? How many promises has he beat you down over and said, "You, it's not yours. It must not be yours, because every time I go to grab it, he kills me. He comes after me." You have to station yourself in the middle of your promise and declare, "Jesus, Jesus, this is my promise." Benaniah says, "I went down on a snowy day, down into the pit, and I fought a lion." The spirit of Benaniah must rise up inside of the church today. That on days when the weather's no good and you feel like you're overwhelmed by his attack, you go down into the pit and you fight with him and you defend your promise. You grab him by the beard and you declare, "I'm going to fight you. I'll walk away wounded, but you'll walk away dead. I don't know what victory looks like for you in your fight with the lion, but I know you can't retreat. I got a little house cat." Well, she doesn't live in the house. She lives outside. She doesn't want to live in the house. But what I noticed about my cat is about every other day, she'll go kill something from the backyard, and she'll bring it to the, well, she won't kill it at first. She'll bring it half gimped. You know, she'll bring it to the back door, and she'll lay it down, and she'll look up at me like, "You see this?" all the time. And she'll bring it, and she'll just look at it. And that little mouse will just be sitting there with a broke right foot in the front and looking up at the cat, you know, and the cat's just standing there just looking at it. And pretty soon that mouse will go like this. And the cat just looking at it. The cat's still looking. Cat's still looking. Pretty soon the mouse is like, all right, I'm free. And that mouse will get to going. And as soon as that mouse runs, soon as that mouse runs, that cat turns on its apex predator. Just runs with the spirit of its ancestors. Snatches it up, puts it back in her mouth, runs it back to the door, sits it down, looks up at me. Because something about running from the enemy triggers his attack. When you run, when a spirit of fear overcomes you and causes you to run from your enemy, it triggers his attack. It triggers the ravenous desire for him to devour you more. And so Peter said, don't run. Be vigilant. Be sober. Fight that enemy. Looking back, I don't care what kind of size mouse you may feel like, but looking back and say, at least, you know, when the enemy attacked me on that day, when he attacked me, there was no rolling over. There was no running away. Like I said, there was no running to the car to catch a moment with the Lord. There was either you fight or you die. Either me and this line are going to have it out or she's going to die. But there was none of that. It was just simply fight. Fight. Don't run. If you run, he'll know. The spirit of fear. That's why you can't operate with a spirit of fear in your life. You've been given a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. You have to keep your wits about you when he attacks you. You've not been given a spirit of fear. Don't ever operate in it. Don't ever let the enemy see you run from him. The moment you run, it triggers his attack more. He'll call, woo, we got him. Come on, let's go. Don't run. Stand and fight. And let the glory of God manifest. Let God fight for you in that moment. There was nothing I could do. There was nothing. I was helpless. I was helpless. I was just like, God, Jesus, Becca, wake up. Jesus, Becca, wake up. That was it. That was my fight. That's what fight looks like. Fight looks like, this belongs to you, not me. She's your promise. You can't let her die. That's what it looks like. Just deep dependence on God to say, this is my fight. Jesus, this is my fight. Jesus, this is my fight. Jesus. That's what your fight consists of. Don't ever think that you have it within you to withstand it. Outside of him, it's the only way. He's the only one powerful enough to bring life back to the dead. He's the only one powerful enough to defeat the enemy that hunts you. Amen. Number three, talk to it. Talk to it. Can you imagine that? Lion's attacking you. Now listen, Mr. Lion. Let's have a conversation about this. You know what I mean? You got to talk to your lion. Meaning you got to pray the word. You got to declare the word to this lion. You got to let that lion know. You have to let him know. You have to scream back at your lion. He says he roars. You got to roar back. We as a church have got to learn to roar back together at the lions that are attacking our generations. Roar back. Every once in a while, I'll open up the back door to my house in the middle of the night when I hear him roaring out in the darkness. Because he likes the darkness, you know. He likes it. He can't be seen, but he can be heard. And he likes to intimidate and cause fear. And so when I hear him in the middle of the night, he comes to us. Comes to a lot of us at night, you know. And he causes you to live. He just wants to scare you. And so when he does that to me, I'll open up the back door, walk out there because I got a wooded backyard. And I'll just declare the promises of God into the wide open atmosphere. I'll just declare, Jesus is my Savior. Jesus has got me. I am the beloveds of the Lord. You can't have the promises. I declare my children shall love God. I just roar back at him into the darkness just to let him know that my roar is more mighty than his. Because within me is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and you can't intimidate me. Ephesians 6:17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and fight him. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and powerful. It's living and it's powerful. It's living and it's powerful. It was alive when I declared it in that day by saying his name. I felt the life of God's word spring into action in that moment. It's living. It's sharp, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit. I needed a sword that pierced, that was able to pierce between soul and spirit in that moment. And you will need a sword that will be able to pierce between soul and spirit, that cuts in and destroys the enemy, cuts away the enemy from your promises. The word of the Lord, it's powerful how it cuts the enemy and surgically removes the curse from your mind as you declare it. Try it. The next time the enemy comes upon you, try to declare the word and watch how it goes into the enemy and out of your mind. And if it comes back into your mind, declare the word again and watch how it pierces joint and marrow, spirit and flesh. It gets in there. It gets him, but it gets you too. Comes in, cuts it out of you, throws it away. Comes back, declare the word again. Comes back, declare the word again. Learn how to roar when the enemy attacks. Repetition is how you establish positive thought process. Repetition. Do it again. He said, a lot of people say, I just keep being attacked in my mind. Keep declaring the word. Keep declaring the word. It's impossible. It's near impossible to declare something out of your mouth and it not be removed from your mind. Declare the word and just keep declaring. Declare, roar the word back at the enemy. And fourth, as I close, fight back. Fight back. Stop living like a victim. You're not a victim. You're victorious in Christ. Leviticus 26:7-8. Say, you will chase your enemies. Leviticus, you will chase your enemies. And they shall fall by the sword before you. Five of you shall chase 100. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. Fight back. You will chase your enemies. Not be chased. You will chase him. We've grown accustomed to being chased. We've grown comfortable with playing the role of the mouse. We've grown comfortable with it. We've grown comfortable with being the victim of the enemy rather than the victor over the enemy. We've grown comfortable with it. We've allowed it to become a part of our church culture. The enemy's attacking me, we say. Or, you know, we say, I'm the enemy's ruining my life. And you could just, there's victim talk, and there's running just the behavior. We've learned to play the victim too easily rather than the victor. Leviticus declares, you will chase him. Not the other way around. And when more of you get in a room, you will cause more of them to run from you. The more of us that gather together with this mentality of chasing them, the more we will put to flight the enemies, the lions that are laying out in wait for us, the lions that are laying out in wait for our children, the lions that are laying out in wait for our nieces and our nephews and our aunts and our uncles and our friends and our family, the lions that are lying in wait. Instead of you, we'll just come in agreement and say, we're going to put these enemies to flight. We're going to operate by a spirit of victorious living. We're going to operate by the victory of the cross. We're not going to adopt this mentality of a victim, but we're going to walk in the power of the resurrection of the lion of the tribe of Judah. We're going to become unified. And when the enemy attacks one of us, we're all going to rally around that one. And we're going to put to flight all of the powers and principalities that will come upon him. So right now, if you have sickness in your body in this room, stand to your feet. If you have sickness in your body, stand to your feet. Any kind of sickness, I don't care what kind of sickness is it. Sickness in your body, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Now, listen. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to put them to flight. We're going to put the enemy to flight right now. Come on, Chris. Because he says, you will chase your enemies. Some of us are being chased in this room. You're looking at some of those that are being chased. And I have, honestly, there are more, but good. So with me, could you rally around those who are standing now? And with the spirit of victory, put to flight the enemy that is attacking your sister or your brother. Put it to flight now. Come on, don't let anybody not be gathered around with two or three people. Come on, help us pray. Put the enemy to flight now. You're more than a conqueror. We put the enemy to flight now. We declare the power of the cross be available. We come against sickness and disease now. We declare that by the stripes of our Savior, we come against a spirit of doubt, a spirit of shame, a spirit of reproach, a spirit of condemnation. We declare the word of God that it's powerful. We send it now to pierce joint and marrow. We send your word now to divide soul and spirit. Soul and spirit, be divided now. In Jesus' name we declare the power of God be made available. We bless. We thank you, God, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. That if we were made in the image, in the baptism of your death, then certainly we shall be raised with you in the likeness of your resurrection, God. And so we thank you. We thank you for manifesting healing. We thank you that it's a promise of your word, and we stand our ground in the middle of this promise, and we declare to the enemy that is attacking, you cannot have it. We let the word of God resonate from deep within us and declare to the enemy, you cannot have what belongs to God. We declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. What I'm going to ask now is the altar ministers, if you wouldn't mind coming forward. Give me some altar ministers that will come forward. And I want to ask you a question as we close today. And I ask you this question because I know the reality of it. If you're distant from God, if you were to call upon His name right now, do you have confidence in your call? Listen to me. Do you have confidence in your call to Christ? If there's any insecurity in that answer, I'm going to ask you to come forward for prayer. We're going to close, and some of us are going to go that way. But if there's any insecurity in your mind to say, I don't know if I was caught by a lion in the middle of an attack, if I called upon His name, if I would be confident that He would arrive on my back. I'm just not that sure. If that's you, we want to pray for you. We want you to walk out of here confident in your inheritance as a son and a daughter of the King. As a son and a daughter of the King, you have an inheritance. You have a protector. You have a brother. You have an advocate to the Father that waits and makes intercession on your behalf. Don't live your life ill-equipped for the fight you are engaged in. Don't walk out of here naive and gullible, thinking that, well, I'll get better later. You won't have time. He comes in a moment where you're unaware and less sober. Come on, stand with me to your feet. altar ministers. Can I get a few more altar ministers to come forward as we close in prayer? Father, we're so thankful for your word today. Your word is powerful. It's a lamp unto our feet. It guides our heart. I pray for those, God. I pray for those in this room right now listening to my voice who may feel disconnected. God, your heart is that you want them to know the confidence of sonship or daughtership. You want them to know the confidence that comes with belonging to you. So God, right now in this moment, we pray that you would flood their hearts with confidence, assurance as they call upon your name. There is no other name, no other name, none under heaven by which man can be saved. It is only the name of Jesus. And if you call upon him or come in, he'll speak confidence to your heart. He'll let you know that you are his beloved and that he will fight for you. He will fight the battle for you. If that's you, just lift your eyes towards the heavens now. Whisper his name, Jesus. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. We bless you, God. We thank you. We thank you that every enemy is defeated. Every lion, his jaw broken. Jaws of the lion torn by the might of Samson. May the spirit of Samson rise within our hearts to fight the lions that come upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, we want to pray with you before you leave. Before you go that way, come this way. Do me a favor, turn to your neighbor and ask if they need prayer. God bless you. Live right, love everybody, and pray hard. Please come this way for prayer.